Hello, Frog fans. How's everybody doing here at Raw Brewing? Woo! Hey, this is episode 200 of the Killer Frogs. We are live at RAR, and for everybody who is missing this wonderful watch party between TCU and Texas Tech, what in the world were you thinking? We have got some amazing things on tap, including our new frog water. So for those of you who are here, please go to the bar and check that out a little bit later on. My name is Sean Fouché, and with me, we've got TCU Hall of Famer Shannon Brazil. How you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing great. Go Rangers! Can we get a Go Rangers up in here? Yes, sir. Man, yeah, that is awesome. I was telling people last night, I've been going to the Rangers for like two stadiums ago.
Oh, yeah, Turnpike Stadium.
Stadium. So it's been a long time coming for me, so I'm excited to be here.
Well, we will definitely talk about Rangers here in a minute. And also with us, TCU former player Nathan Hernandez. How are you doing, Nathan?
You know, I'm great until probably the end of the game. We'll see. I hope not. But I'm all right in the high from the Rangers win, so hopefully nothing can bring me down.
Yeah, we'll just ride that high for the rest of the day. It's been great. But speaking of the Rangers, this is definitely the World Series hangover episode of the podcast. Obviously, the Rangers winning 4-1 against the Diamondbacks, first time in 52 years in the franchise history, at least for it being here in Arlington, that the Rangers have brought home the World Series. And Shannon, you and I pretty much have been... Rangers have been a fixture in our entire lives.
Right.
You mentioned Turnpike Stadium. So we wanted to start a little pregame before we get into TCU. What does this World Series win mean to you?
Well, it means a lot to me because, like I said before, I'm a sports guy. And I was able to see Dallas, when they won back in the 90s, go to their parade. So now I'm looking forward to going to the parade Friday and being a part of that. But again, I remember, you know, Rodriguez and Pond, I mean, the catcher.
Pudge Rodriguez, right?
Yep. And all those
Julio
guys.
Julio Franco, Gonzalez, all those guys.
Juan Gonzalez. I saw those
Palmeiro
guys play. You know, my tickets are way up top, but back then I can get all the way down behind home plate because nobody went to the game.
Oh, yeah, you just get tickets up in the upper deck.
That's what you did.
You make your way down to the front.
You bought
cheap
tickets and you came down.
Exactly.
That's how it worked back then.
It's huge, I love it for the city of Arlington and the Metroplex. So, man, this is huge, and I just hope the Dallas Cowboys can follow. That'd be great.
Nathan, I mean, you haven't been around as long as Shannon and I. Not saying we're old, Shannon, but, you know.
We're getting up there.
Yeah, but what did that win mean for you?
For me, it's the cliche, you know, grew up going to games with my dad, and so meant a lot for that ever since. Don't need the sympathy, but since then, dad has passed away, and the last memory I have with him, last thing we did together was go to a Rangers game. And so he was always kind of the guy that wanted the kind of nobodies to hit the home runs, like always rooting for the underdogs and little guys. And so watching that happen finally, and then also, you know, watching the 2011-2010 World Series games, it had a little bitter taste in my mouth for the last 13 years, and so now we're doing good.
Yeah, that pass ball in center field kind of wiped away the Nelson Cruz miss back in 2011.
Yeah, the announcer loved to bring that they're one strike away again, one out away again. He literally loved to say that last night, and it was pissing me off.
During the no-hitter, I was constantly walking around with my students because I unfortunately had to teach last night, and I was kind of going, he's working on a no-hitter. He's working on – and one of the Diamondback fans that were actually in my class said, stop saying that. It's like, no, not going to.
Well, you saw all the TCU burner pages were saying, hey, anybody hear the no-hitter going on or the perfect game going on?
Yeah, TCU fans know how that goes for sure.
One thing about it for me, one thing I did learn last night is baseball is way more stressful than football. Way more stressful.
Definitely.
I was sitting there just ending after ending. I end up going through three cigars. I usually do two a night. I went through three last night.
You didn't invite me over, man.
You're invited next time. Trust me.
I'll be there. Yeah, you know, for me, Nathan, you're mentioning your dad. Same thing for me. I mean, my dad grew up playing baseball, played baseball, collegiately in California, was actually drafted by the Twins before an injury, unfortunately, prevented him from going on to the majors. And so anytime, my first early memories of professional sports in this area was going with my dad to the old Turnpike Stadium whenever some of his old teammates would come through town to play the Rangers.
That's awesome.
You know, and I didn't understand how that meant to be able to be down on the field before game to meet some of these guys. Now, granted, you know, back then, I mean, you only had a handful of people in the stands
who
are Ranger fans. But I've been a lifelong Ranger fan because of that. And so seeing them win that, it was a special team, and we are really, really proud of the Rangers. We're looking forward to the parade on Friday.
But shout out to Landry Burdon. He was a bat boy back in the day.
Oh, what? I didn't know that.
He was a bat boy for the Rangers back in the day. So shout out to
that.
Mr. Burdon. He was in tears last night.
I bet he was.
Being off his Twitter. He said he was in tears.
Oh, I have to check him out. Well, we are about to start the game between TCU and Texas Tech. Kicks off here around 6:05. Before we get to that point, though, let's quickly go over our keys to the game and predictions. Shannon, I don't know. We don't necessarily want to bring up the K-State game, but what do you think? What has to change for the Frogs in order to win in Lubbock?
Well, I'll speak from a team's concept or state of mind. What we can't do, we can't lose in every single category besides two. Fourth down efficiency and punts.
And punting, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Those aren't the two categories you want to lead in.
3 points obviously can't happen. The crowd's going to be just like it was in Kansas. Obviously, we know these guys are rowdy with the throwing tortillas and all that stuff. We have to win we have to dominate some fashion of the game. It just has to happen. We hadn't done that in a while. We hadn't looked at our Frogs in maybe 2 or 3 weeks and said, they really dominated on this. Whether it be special teams, offense, defense, something has to carry the team. And right now, nobody's carrying the team. Nobody. It's ridiculous. And so I'm hoping, listen, I'll be honest with you, and I'll say it, and I don't want anybody to take offense to this because I'm not talking about the players. The 3-3-5 defense is absolutely trash. It sucks. It does not put our players in position to be great. It's terrible. It has nothing to do with the players. It's the position that you're putting them in. You have a three-down lineman who are getting double-teamed, and all it does is gives your quarterback time to tee off on you, and we're not that great in the secondary. We don't have any lockdown corners. So when you play a 3-3-5, you have to have a lockdown secondary. We don't, and we still do it. Now, we had one game where we put up, I think it was the game before last. What was that? BYU.
BYU, yeah.
We put four in the box.
Four, and sometimes five.
Did you see what happened?
It was great, yeah.
But the 3-3-5, I'm sorry, guys, it's just not us. It's not our identity, and it's terrible. And I'm not the only one to say that. I'm just going to call it out, but it's trash.
Well, we'll definitely come back to that in the postgame for sure. And, Nathan, what do you think? Keys to the game.
I got three things. Got to play a clean game. Can't beat ourselves with penalties, and I think that's been a subtle, not-so-subtle thing we've been doing all year. We've had a lot of penalties. Got to kill that. Got to clean it up. O-line has to play really well. Got to protect Hoover, let him get into a rhythm. And then the third thing is going to what Shannon said, our secondary. I think our secondary has to play really well. And I won't say we don't have a lockdown corner. We have a really good corner in Josh Newton. He has 0 TDs allowed, an INT, 4 PBUs, 45.3 passer rating allowed, and 86.5 coverage grade. So he can do it.
Right.
We just got to see it.
Well, he just can't do it for like 7 seconds every play, right?
Yeah, we need some coverage sacks, and that allows your defensive line to get some momentum, get some pressure, and then we can dial things up. If we can get ahead, then we'll be good. But, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll add to that. I think definitely the TCU Frogs have got to lean on the run in this game offensively. Yeah. They got to give Hoover a little bit of breathing room. They've got to lean on Bailey. He's got to be able to take that ball. And that, of course, goes back into what you were talking about, Nathan. The offensive line has got to perform. If they can't run block today, I think we're going to be in for a very long game. But before we get started here at kickoff, predictions. Shannon, what do you think the end score is going to be tonight?
Listen, if we play like we played last weekend, we're close, we'll get beat tonight. I'm expecting we're not going to do that. I'm expecting that we have a good enough coaching staff that we had a great week of practice. Preparation was high. The kids bought in again. So, listen, we're going to go 31-24. TCU wins this ball game.
Okay, all right. Touchdown different. That I'll take it. Nathan?
I actually am right on his page. I thought about this earlier today, though, so it's not like I'm just now coming up with it. 34-24 TCU.
34-24. Okay, a little bit of a bigger difference. I
trust our kicker.
Yeah, I'm going to go the opposite way. Definitely going to be trusting our kicker as well. I'm going to go 27-24 TCU. You know, I think it's going to be a bit of a battle. I think a little bit of back and forth, but I think TC is going to end up kind of pulling away there in the fourth quarter, and I think the defense is going to.
I think we get our running game going so we can open it up for the quarterback. We have to get him comfortable. How you get him comfortable is you run the ball. So I think we'll be able to run the ball on Texas defense. I mean, so I'm thinking we'll beat them up there, and that's why I'm thinking we can beat them by at least 7 points, and we'll get them in the fourth quarter kind of thing, wear them down. So we'll see.
Well, we will definitely see. And, you know, we're going to be here all night long at the watch party, and during the media timeouts, instead of you guys having to suffer through the ads, we'll come up here and we'll do a little bit of analysis during the game. Of course, we'll have a halftime show and a post-game show, but till then, let's get ready for kickoff. TCU against Texas Tech in Lubbock. Oh, and we do have a raffle. I'm sorry, I totally forgot. We do have a raffle. If you don't have your raffle tickets, see Ryan for those. And then we're going to have several other things throughout the day, so check in with us as we go. We are ready now for TCU and Texas Tech in Lubbock. Let's
get a go frogs.
Get a horse.
Let's get a go frogs up
here, everybody. Here we go.
Let's get a go frogs.
1, 2, 3. Go frogs.
Go frogs. Let's go, baby.
Well, there you go. First half, TCU and Texas Tech. Not what we were expecting, Shannon, but obviously the Frogs are going to have to make a lot of second half adjustments here. What did you see in that first half, Shannon?
Well, I tell you, we're not able on defense. We can't stop anybody. We can't stop the run. They're running it down our throats. Again, the 3-3-5 defense is we've made about a handful of tackles, but after that, they're moving the ball down the field on us. We can't stop anything. From an offensive standpoint, Hoover's the only one playing. Our running game has disappeared. It's gone. I don't know where the hell it's went to.
Well, but, you know, that was one of the things I mentioned pregame, right? Yeah, we got to get Bailey going. And at some point in time, like in the second quarter, we were only 20 yards of rushing. It's pitiful.
20 yards to what, 90?
Yeah, easily.
And at the time, so I'm pretty sure they have about 100 yards to our, you know, 30, 40 yards. And that's not a formula for winning. That's a formula for losing, for sure.
No, not at all. All right, well, we want to welcome to the halftime show, Tori. Tori, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so before we get started, what did you see in that first half that the Frogs need to adjust coming out of the second half?
I wasn't overly impressed with the line play on either side of the ball, particularly early on the defensive side. They were getting pushed back, and that's why Texas Tech was able to run the ball as well as they did. Offensive line started a little bit better as the half went on. But again, that line has to play better on both sides of the ball. That was a big thing that stood out to me.
Yeah, the line was pretty pitiful, especially when we're talking about defensive line. And Shannon, you're talking about the 3-3-5. Let's go back to the 3-3-5 for a moment, because you and I have talked about the 3-3-5 extensively.
Right.
You are not a fan.
Not at all.
And for the last couple of weeks, I'm kind of been moving towards your side of the camp. What are you seeing right now that is causing TCU to have problems on defense?
We simply don't have the athletes to run a legit 3-3-5.
So what do you mean by that?
Meaning, up front, you have to have dogs. You have to have three people who cannot be double teamed. Somebody has to get free. And if you don't have that, you have to have a shutdown corners. Well, if you have shutdown corners, they will give your three down linemen time to sack the quarterback because they're getting double teamed. But if you don't have that, now you have a three down lineman who's not getting to the quarterback. Then you have linebackers that are dropping in zones, and then you have the secondary who are not dogs, so therefore they're running back and forth and they're chasing, and it leaves the quarterback nothing but holes in your defense. And that's what you see tonight. And we can't stop the run. So the 3-3-5, unless you have the right personnel, it does not work.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Gillespie's got his hands full, especially for the second half adjustments. So, Tori, real quick, let's jump on offense for a moment. Hoover has looked sharp for some of his throws. He's going through progressions, but obviously we're having some issues here getting guys open. What are you seeing here offensively that TCU needs to change here in the second half?
I really liked on the, I believe it was the touchdown drive, Hoover threw a lot of short passes, a lot of intermediate 5 to 10 yard throws, they need to keep doing that.
Yeah.
The guys are open over the middle when they do those types of things. Early on, he was going for the deep shot. He was going for the big play. I'm going to do the fancy thing. That's not what TCU needs. That's not necessarily TCU's style on offense. So what I want to see is going back to those shorter intermediate throws and just moving the ball, taking time off the clock. On the broadcast at one point, they said in the second quarter, Texas Tech has had the ball for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
TCU's, they're going three and out because we know TCU goes quick. And if you're not getting yards, you're getting off the field. So don't be afraid. Maybe just slow things down a little bit. Take the intermediate and don't just hurry up off the field.
I totally agree with you because our running game has disappeared. You have to go short, and maybe take the hits over the middle like we've been taking, and we've been successful. I think we completed around 3 passes over the middle, but that's because we're able to go outside. Our running game has disappeared. Usually, it's run, boom. Well, we hadn't been able to run the ball again in the first half, so you have to get short passes to make them respect the outs, which is pretty much runs, 3-4 yard gains, and then go over the top. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah, the offensive line's definitely got to step it up here. The run blocking has been pitiful all game long. We've definitely got to improve on that. I agree with you. I think a lot of the passes that we've seen out of Hoover, it's been kind of like mid-range. He's taken a couple of deep shots, which is nice, but it'd be nice to kind of get his confidence up and kind of complete some of those kind of short passes and then be able to set something up a little bit further on down the line. But we got to get Bailey going in the second half. We don't get Bailey going, I don't see TCU being able to pull this one out.
Yeah.
Torrey, we've got some interesting things going on here tonight. Obviously, this is a fantastic venue. If you've never been out to Rahr Brewing, Rahr is a Fort Worth staple. You've got to come out here to do this. But we got another event that's actually happening right next door to us, and we want to give them a little bit of love. So, Torrey, tell us a little bit about what's going on right now, right next to us.
Yeah, so next door to us, ACH Child and Family Services is holding a bingo night. It's one of their fundraisers. They are an organization here in Fort Worth that really tries to help families and children who are going through crises. They do crisis intervention services, foster care and adoption services, counseling, residential services, things like that. I actually am friends with some of the individuals, some of the women who are putting on this program. This is a great organization. So that's who we have next door. I know if even people just wanted to stop by and give a little donation, I know they'd love that support. But yeah, wonderful people here sharing the space.
Yeah, they are a fantastic organization. It's definitely something to check out. Shannon, let's get back into this just real quick. Coming out in the second half, what are you expecting to see from the Frogs?
Establish the run. We have to run the ball. We have to establish the run. Each week, if we have anything going, it's the run game. And again, I don't think we're at 50 yards in 2 quarters. That's not Horned Frog football. So now you're putting it into Hoover's hand to move the ball, a backup quarterback, who's pretty doggone good, by the way. But still, he's still human,
right,
with not much experience. So we have to establish the run. Secondly, our defense has to step up. You guys have been watching the same thing we've been watching. When they go with the 3-5, the 3-3, we're not getting any pressure. I think we maybe got in the backfield 3 times in 2 quarters. But when we go with the 4-man, when they bring up a strong safety, we're getting more pressure on them. We've got to do more of that. Otherwise, we have to now play catch up. But if we can't stop them and we try to play the shootout game now, we'll lose because we can't catch up.
Yeah, and, you know.
Turnovers.
Agreed. And Texas Tech is going to receive the ball here at the beginning of the second half. So TCU is already playing behind. They don't have the advantage here. So it's going to be interesting to see exactly what sort of changes the coaches actually make here in the second half. I agree with you. I think Gillespie needs to start rushing 4 for the rest of the game. No more delayed blitzes. No more just showing a blitz and then calling them off. You got to rush 4 the entire game. Can't rely on the front 3. They're not getting the job done. So got to get that done. And then on the offensive side, definitely got to get Bailey going. I don't know if it's just a situation of Bryles just thinking that Hoover can kind of handle this on his own, because obviously he's going to need a little bit more time. You got to get the run to establish the pass in this particular case. You can't go deep pass, and expect to be able to win here in Lubbock. So we'll see what happens here in the second half. Torrey, any other points you want to make here going into the second half of this game?
I fully agree with what both of you guys have said, that the run game, I think, is key. Without that, TC becomes one-dimensional, and as good as Hoover has played as a backup quarterback, you can't put the whole game on him on offense. Defensively, I agree, got to bring more pressure and just have to be more consistent with what you're doing, and you got to contain Brooks. You got to contain Taj Brooks somehow. You're not going to stop him, and you got to make tackles. There have been a few missed tackles, guys stepping through, things like that. It's just got to clean things up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, hopefully in the second half, we see a little bit of a turnaround here for TCU. Down 20-7 against Texas Tech. We'll pick it back up after a halftime. And for everybody who's out here at Rahr Brewing, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. If you haven't already got your raffle tickets, we're going to be coming back to raffle here in just a few minutes before we actually start the second half. With that, we want to thank everybody who's joining us tonight. Of course, remember, you can go and check out the new Frog Water. Just go out to the bar and go ahead and ask them for a glass. It is a fantastic hard seltzer. Highly recommend it. Not only is it purple, but dang, it tastes good. And, of course, you've got some of the favorites here at Rahr on tap as well. My favorite is Adios Pantalones, not just because the name is fantastic, but, dang, that is a great Mexican lager. Absolutely love that one. And, of course, you can get the Oktoberfest before it's gone because, you know, it's November. Anyway, love it. Thank you very much for Rahr for hosting us tonight. And if you guys have any questions for us, as we start the second half, just come up and talk to us. We'd love to be able to hear what you have to say. Until then, go Frogs. Well, that is not the way we were hoping this game would go, but I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight here at Rahr Brewing for our 200th episode. TCU falls to Texas Tech.
Shout out to the Riff Ram.
Absolutely a shout out to the Riff Ram girls.
Riff Ram girls did a wonderful job tonight.
And the few gentlemen who I saw who joined the Riff Ram girls for tonight, thank you very much for that. Really appreciate it. Got an impromptu alma mater going on. I don't know the words. I was in the band, folks. I just played the music. I didn't actually sing it.
Light of faith, follow through. Praise to the
Here we go.
TCU.
Oh, there we go, folks. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Had our watch party here at Rahr Brewing. Nathan, let's start with you. What did you see out of this game? What are your takeaways from TCU losing to Texas Tech, 35-28?
For me, Texas Tech is in the top five teams you don't want to lose to.
I agree with that.
For me, it's Baylor, Texas Tech, Kansas, and not that we play them really much in football, but Texas A&M. So that one applies right. More to baseball, but yeah, still top five. Yeah. So I'm a little not happy. Can't throw picks.
No. Is that three picks on the night by Hoover?
You take two of those off, or we take one of them off, and they don't have 7 points, so it's a tie game.
I do have to ask you, as a wide receiver, do you feel that was primarily on Hoover, or do you think there was some miscommunication between the wide receiver and the quarterback?
I think it's miscommunication on both sides. The last pick, receiver stopped. Can't do it. Got to keep running.
Yeah, you got to keep. Got to go through that entire route.
I don't put that last pick on Hoover. I put that on the receiver. But it is what it is. Can't throw picks. Got to take care of the football.
Right. Yeah, that was a big problem with Andy Dalton while he was here at TCU. A lot of people were a little upset with the amount of picks that he threw. But again, if you go back and take a look at it, a lot of that you can actually kind of throw back on to the wide receiver, not necessarily Andy Dalton. But again, you know, it's just excuses. Shannon, big problem here, 35 points by Texas Tech. This 3-3-5, let's dive into this for a moment. Tell us your thoughts today on what you saw out of Gillespie and this particular defensive scheme.
Well, we couldn't stop the running game. And when you can't stop the running game, it's going to open up the pass game. That's just football 101, traditional football. And we couldn't stop their running game. As you guys saw them, they shut our running game down. So
Which was surprising.
Yeah, so when you're able to do that, you know, the secondary can pin their ears back and play football. So, again, you know, to see us from to go to a national title game to win a BCS Bowl national title to go to 4-4, and we still have to play three more games that we could potentially lose.
Yep.
It's heartbreaking right now. So
We'll make one correction. 4-5.
4-5. I'm sorry. 4-5. Yeah. That's even worse.
I agree. Yeah. So now Texas Tech and TCU are now at 4-5 on the season. It's unfortunate here. But, you know, overall, I think we do have a few points that I think were bright spots for today. I think Hoover does have, as a freshman, he does have a lot of room for improvement. But I think the ceiling's pretty high for him as quarterback. What do you think, Shannon?
The ceiling's very high for him. It's just we got to protect him. I mean, he took a lot of hits tonight. He's also running and sliding head first. We don't need that right now. You know, if he gets hurt, get a sting or get something, he's done. So who else is up? So we just have to be smart. We're just not playing smart football right now. Mm-hmm. Hoover is the brightest spot on the team right now.
Okay.
That's it. Hoover. Yep. You need, and last time I checked, it takes 11 on both sides of the ball to win a football game.
Right. Yeah, yeah. There's 10 other guys on the offense that need to actually step it up. And I'm not saying that Bailey has not done a great job, but I think when you've taken, and Nathan, you can kind of jump in on this. I think the offensive line, there's a lot of questions there, and there's a lot of things that need to be addressed as we move forward over the next couple of weeks. What do you think?
Yeah, I think our running backs are doing all right. They're doing good, or for the most part. This game could have been a little bit better with the cuts, mm-hmm. being a little more patient. But at the same time, a lot of that comes back to the O-line. You're not blocking. Two, three guys coming through in the backfield unblocked. You're not going to be able to do anything with that. We don't have Barry Sanders back there. As great as our running backs are, you know, eventually someone comes through, they're going to get stops. Credit Texas Tech. They were tackling very well tonight. They brought the wood, you know. Just a lot of energy on their side of the defense, and so.
Well, there was one tackle in particular. Shannon thought,
yeah,
that's going to show up on SportsCenter tonight.
I'm telling you, watch.
There were two on that drive.
Hat back tackle.
Yeah,
they'll show up tonight.
It was pretty good. Yeah.
They were the hammer. We were the nail tonight. And
yeah, it was unfortunate.
You're going to lose a lot of games like that.
Ouch. Well, so Shannon, let me go back to the 3-3-5 here for a moment, because the 3-3-5 has been questionable all season long. Now, the question I'm going to ask you is this. I know that we've talked a little bit about the personnel, especially that front three, but given the fact that if you are the defensive coordinator at this point in time, seeing the front three of TCU, do you lay the blame at this point with the defensive coordinator, or do you blame it more with the players?
Oh, it's the coordinator.
Okay.
All day long, because you have to put the players in position to make the best plays. Once again, once they bring up one person, we've seen it work every time, that frees up somebody. It frees up an offensive lineman to try to block. So now it frees up one of your big guys, and the pressure is there.
Right.
So therefore, when they go back, and you see it all night long, when we go back to that 3-3, at least, especially in the pass games, there's holes all over the place. I've been saying that. I feel like I'm just beating a dead horse. It's just sports 101. You can't match it. It leaves holes. So, and then tonight on the running game, we just, you know, when you got everybody's double teamed up front and the running back's averaging 3 to 5 yards a pop, thus why they ran the ball up and down the field and they had 100 yards in the first quarter to our 20.
Yeah, a big problem. I think definitely moving forward over the next couple of weeks, if TCU has any chance at all to get to 6 wins. And I think, you know, Nathan, we talked about there's at least one game on here that we can kind of circle and think, okay, we got a shot to win that one, but you're going to have to pull a Hail Mary out of one of the other remaining games on the schedule at this point.
I mean, even with Baylor, you got to play a lot better than that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I agree. You got to play a lot better than what they played tonight against Texas Tech to be able to beat Baylor. which is unfortunate given the fact that Baylor, I don't know which is the better team, Tech or Baylor at this point, but TCU's got to do something to be able to pull this season out. And as we talked about previously, I mean, you go from the pinnacle of college football to play against Georgia in the national championship to get to the point now where you're at 4-5 and staring down the barrel of the rest of the season thinking, how in the world are we even going to get to a bowl game? There's a lot of questions here. And the questions that I think a lot of TCU fans are going to be asking is it the personnel or is it the coaching? Shannon, what do you think?
Well, I don't know if we get to a bowl game. We have to play a lot better, and I just don't know if we have a lot better in us. I just don't. I mean, we're 4-5, and we, from week to week, it just don't seem like we're getting better. So in order to beat a Baylor, an Oklahoma, Texas, can we rise to being 2 or 3 times better than we've been playing the last couple of weeks? I don't know if we have it in us. I just don't. So I've always been told, trust your eyes. You just saw what I just saw.
I did.
So it was terrible. And so I don't know. I just don't know. You know, I think we can at least win one more game. But for us to string 3 games back to back to back and play out of our minds, I don't know. I guess it could happen, but I don't think so.
All right. Well, that will do it for tonight. I want to thank everybody who joined us here at RAR Brewery for our live episode 200 and the watch party here with Texas Tech. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Of course, if you want to go ahead and check out killerfrogs.com, go ahead and go online. You can sign up for a free account. Let us know what you think about the season and whether or not TCU is actually going to make a bowl game. And, of course, you can find the podcast in all the major podcast channels. You got us on Apple, Google, and even on Amazon, as well as Spotify. Of course, with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's time where we get our frogs up, and we get to say,
Go Frogs!